Sairam, dear listeners, welcome to this treat of an afternoon satsang, as we called it last week. A treat because it is filled with stories galore. And we will be continuing, that is, Prem and myself from Team Radio Sai, we will be continuing our afternoon satsang discussion on different beautiful bhajans and songs and the stories associated with them, with how they were composed and so on. And we are sure that just like we feel so thrilled reliving these beautiful stories and then listening to these bhajans with knowledge of the rich history and story behind them, you too will enjoy the same. As always, we begin by offering our most humble salutations at the lotus feet of Swami, who is ever present with us in the studio, the witness, the inspiration, the guide, the motivation, the everything for each and every one of us. Dear listeners, we received a few feedback mails. It was very heartening to note the feedback. At the same time, one or two mails requested for particular bhajans and songs. We will be dealing with those bhajans a little later during this satsang. We have got lined up for you some really beautiful stories of some bhajans and songs. And without further ado, I think, Prem, we should dive into it.
Definitely, Arvind. I think as we spoke about it last week, you know, there are a lot of good things to derive from knowing the history of some of these songs. Because especially of some of the songs we are going to be listening to today, bhajans, of course, are, in a sense, they have a little lesser scope because they have to be about that particular divinity. And the expression of that emotion is more confined to the raga aspect of that bhajan than the lyrics aspect. Of course, there are a few bhajans. We dealt with a few of them last week by Hariharan sir. But some of the songs tend to have more of that freedom to pack in all the emotion and the drama which happened in the composition of the song and the presentation.
Exactly, Prem. But let me make one small correction here. Don't think that bhajans can be lacking in drama, because right in the beginning, the first on our lineup is one bhajan that possibly has a story which is as dramatic as it can get. And this is the story of a bhajan. Shall I say the name now, or shall we hold on?
I think you tell the story, because that will show how beautifully this bhajan fits into that context.
Okay. So, our story dates back to almost 3 decades ago. That is in 1986. The 9th of December, to be precise. It was a beautiful day in Prashanthi Nilayam, just like any other day. And all the students from the different courses in the college and the school, everybody were eager, because afternoon time is darshan time. This is the time when you rush to have the most, you know, beautiful thing of the day, that is Swami's darshan. Among these students was also Kumar. Kumar was doing his MBA, and he was very eager. In fact, you know, he had joined the university just so that he can spend time with Swami. Anybody who has studied here will know that nobody comes here for the secular education part of it. Though the secular education is fantastic, it's for Swami that we all come. And so this was the evening darshan time. He was very eager to go. And as the lines left, you know, we also had our own different areas during our student days. There will be a section before the mandir where we have to remove our slippers, right? We have to remove our footwear and go in.
Right.
I remember I used to never wear footwear, because I used to think that there'll be some time wasted in leaving the footwear and you lose out in getting a chance to sit in the front few rows in the mandir. But then everybody else would come rushing. It was almost like a Formula One racing pit stop. People will come rushing there, leave the chappals and, you know, in as fast as possible, leave it, secure it also. You know, because there are thousands of slippers, pairs being left there. There's a chance of them getting mixed up and you losing them, therefore. So some of them would keep them in particular areas. Some of them, I also remember, would run a chain around the slippers. You remember that? Run a chain around the slipper and lock it so that they are safe in the area. Now, Kumar had his own different strategy when he rushed in there. His father and mother, his parents, had been blessed with a house in East Prashanthi. East Prashanthi is a building right next to the...
Right, opposite the gate to the entrance of the mandir.
Okay. The student's entry gate.
Student's entry gate, right.
So, East Prashanti 1. In fact, they used to call it as EA1. That is East Prashanti A1. A stands for ground floor. And 1 is the first house.
Right.
So that was the house that Swami had gifted his parents in 1985. And they had been living there. So this is 1986, 9th December. So Kumar would leave it near his house, near his own house, you know, the slippers, so that they are safe and they won't get dislodged and lost, and he can wear them back. This day when he came there, he saw that his father was outside. He was looking a little tired, he was looking weak, and more than anything else, he looked very, very worried. So Kumar went straight to his father, and Appa, you know, that is a South Indian, almost, I think in all languages, Tamil, right. Telugu, Kannada, Malayalam, Appa means father. So when he called out to his father just came, buried his face in Kumar's shoulders and began to weep. Began to almost weep, you know.
Okay.
And he said, Kumar, it is very, very difficult. Your mother, she collapsed. She collapsed and now all the doctors are here. You know, he was not speaking coherently. So these were some of the things that Kumar could comprehend. And so he rushed inside the house. And when he rushed into the house, he went into the living room, and the first sight of the living room made him feel that term is such a paradox, because in the living room was his mother, apparently not alive anymore. She was lying there, and he saw Dr. Chari, Dr. Alreja, Dr. Savitramma. Anyone who is a regular at Parthi will know that these are doctors who have been profusely blessed by Swami physically and otherwise also. So they were all standing there. So this is like the who's who of Parthi's doctors in those days. They're all there, and they are just standing silent again. It was Dr. Chari who spoke to Kumar. He told him that it will be good if you sit in the front and pray to Swami for your mother, because we have done everything possible. You're seeing there was an ECG that monitor,
okay,
that had been set up there at home.
At the house, okay.
At the house. And he saw that was getting weak. It was getting weak, and the doctor said that we have done everything possible. At best, we give her about 20-25 minutes. We are losing her.
20-25 minutes?
Minutes, that's it. So, she appeared lifeless, but apparently she was not yet lifeless.
She was just sinking.
Sinking very fast, rapidly. So the doctor, Chari, said, Kumar, you pray to Swami, because I think only he can do something. Nothing can be done by us. Now Kumar at this time remembered that he was out of form. Do you understand what I say?
Right.
In the sense, this was a period of cold treatment for him from Swami. Just to refresh our listeners, there are those phases in a student and possibly a devotee's life also when Swami physically ignores and neglects. Swami says that he does this in order to help the devotee or student transform faster.
Self-introspection is set once this period starts.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And he says that when a highway is undergoing repair, I don't use it, not because I don't like the road, but because I want to allow the repair works to proceed faster so that I can start using the road again as soon as possible. So that is the idea behind this cold treatment period, which in student parlance, we call it as out of form. You know, so Kumar was currently out of form. So he got this doubt as to how am I going to talk to Swami, you know, because Swami is ignoring me, neglecting me. So how will I tell Swami about my mother's condition? So therefore, he looked at Dr. Chari and said, Doctor, will you also tell Swami, please? In the sense, as a doctor talking about a patient. Because, you know, in those days, especially 80s and even 70s, before the 80s, whenever there is a very, very complicated case in the hospital, they used to take it directly to Swami and say, Swami, what is it that we should do here? So Swami used to literally be the Vaidyanarayana Hari, the doctor among the doctors.
Very true. In fact, you know, I was just reading an article sometime back where one of the GH doctors who were there in those years were telling that almost their success rate as a medical center was as good as what it is today.
Oh, in those days?
In those days.
Oh my God.
When there were only two doctors handling all the specialties and all the complications that were coming. Because any complication which slightly went out of their hand, they would rush to Swami. And Swami would immediately say what needs to be done, even medically. Of course, in cases where medically there was no option, Swami would immediately send Prasadam, or Swami would himself go and make sure the patient is revived. But invariably, Swami would immediately say what is the course of action to be taken, And so, you know, the doctors, you could say that their resources were, the lack of resources were taken over by presence of Swami and his guidance, physical guidance.
I remember seeing a board in a doctor's clinic which said, in fact, this is there even in the dispensary at the higher secondary school.
Okay.
I remember it says that the doctor only dispenses medicines. God does the healing, which is so true, because after all, the doctor can only prescribe medicines.
Absolutely. I remember what the Prime Minister of India, then Prime Minister of India, Atal Bihari Vajpayee said when he came to inaugurate the super specialty hospital in
Bangalore. 2002, I think.
Yes. And he said, when you go to a hospital, you get only medicines. He said, you get dawa.
Hmm.
You know, in Hindi, it's medicines. He said, but in this hospital, you'll get dawa and duwa.
Wow. Wow. Dua meaning prayers and blessings.
Blessings.
Blessings, sorry.
So he said, this is a hospital where you will get medicines as well as the grace and the blessings of Swami.
Beautiful. So then, coming back to the story, so Kumar requested Dr. Chari whether he could request Swami and tell him about, inform him about the sad plight of his mother. So Dr. Chari promised that he would try his best. So it was with this understanding that Kumar and Dr. Chari both moved into the mandir, because darshan would be happening in a few minutes from now. The minute they go in, Kumar gets his first disappointment. That is, darshan is already complete, which means Swami has already taken his round and has gone into the interview room with a few devotees whom he has taken in for interview. So now you don't know how long the interview is going to take. When you say God knows how long the interview will go on for, it is literally that is the case. Because God alone knows how long it will go on for. Swami is with these devotees in the interview room, and Kumar sits outside. He's waiting, he's waiting, he's waiting for the interview room door to open. The time elapses, 20 minutes pass, 25 minutes, and now he feels terrible. 25 minutes have elapsed. The doctor there said about 20 to 25 minutes. He's wondering, is my mother alive still now? What is happening there? He has no idea. And the time is nearing for the bhajans to begin. Now, since Kumar is a singer, Kumar was also a bhajan singer. He used to sing, and he has got many, many beautiful bhajans that he has sung. And that is the reason he is figuring in our satsang today, because this is about a bhajan and about a singer. So he goes into the bhajan hall and he decides to sit right in the front there, hoping that Swami will come out now. He better take his position, otherwise he will not get his position in the bhajan hall. Everybody sits there ready for the bhajans. So as he sat there in the bhajan hall, in Prashanta Nilayam, the bhajan hall, from the bhajan hall, if you are right in the front, from the door you can also view the upper portico area where all the doctors and some of the VIPs sit. He saw Dr. Chari walk in and sit there. So he was now sure that everything humanly possible has been done now.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at Dr. Chari. Dr. Chari was not looking at him. He was trying to get some indication. Is my mother alive? Because, you know, it's now past half an hour. Swami has not come, and what is happening? But Dr. Chari just maintained a stoic face, not looking at him. And he was sure that he knows that he is there, but he doesn't want to look at him. So he didn't know what was happening. He had no idea about it. That was when Swami opened the interview room door, you know. This was actually before that. What happened was, the time elapsed and the bhajans had to begin.
Okay.
So the omkaram began, and as the omkaram began, the door, interview room door opened, and Swami walked out. And as Swami walked out, Kumar saw Dr. Chari get up and walk up to Swami. He tried to tell Swami something, but Swami hardly gave him a few seconds. He lent his ear for a few seconds and then just was almost like he was telling Dr. Chari to go back and be seated in his place. So he thought, oh my God, the first plan has not succeeded as I thought. Because, you know, Swami just casually told him to sit. He came and sat on the throne in the bhajan hall. At this time, Kumar did not know what to do, because I cannot speak to Swami now. Bhajans have started, and we know how Swami is so strict about all this. During the bhajans, in fact, I remember when he used to be speaking to the students on the portico, the minute Omkar begins, Swami would say, hey, bhajans, Omkar has started. That is how he would say, and walk straight into the bhajan hall, because no talking during bhajans. This was a rule that Swami himself followed, you know. That was how strict he was. So therefore, it is no surprise that Kumar felt very disheartened. He was wondering, how am I going to communicate to Swami now that the bhajans have begun? That is when, you know, he just turned slightly and requested the teacher in charge that he wants to sing the second bhajan. He thought, let me sing the second bhajan, because bhajan is a way by which I can communicate with Swami. So everybody in the bhajan group noticed that something was amiss with Kumar. He was not his usual self. He was looking very despondent and worried and tense and everything. And plus, he's a very, very good singer. He's an excellent singer. So when he's requesting for a bhajan, it's granted to him. So the teacher in charge agreed that, yes, you can sing the second bhajan. And that is when Kumar thought, now that I have to sing a bhajan, at the same time, it has to be a bhajan through which I can communicate what I'm going through. And that is what made him pick this bhajan. This bhajan also has an alap. And actually, I will continue the story after we possibly hear the alap, because we'll get an idea of what Kumar sang. And then I shall continue with the story before we hear the bhajan in the end. So let's have the alap that Kumar sang on that day. Prem, is this in Kumar's voice?
Yes, I think this is in Vikumar sir's voice.
Okay,
yes.
So Kumar Bhaiya's voice, that's how I call him, Kumar Bhaiya. So V Kumar sir, while narrating, because I was saying Kumar, I am addressing him in the singular. But yeah, this is Kumar sir's voice. And it is not exactly the recording of that day, but a future recording. But this is exactly the alap that he sang on the 9th of December 1986. As he sat there, his heart thudding very fast, wondering whether his mother is alive or not.
Tvameva matascha pita tvameva. Tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva. Tvameva vidya dravidam tvameva. Tvameva sarvam mama deva deva.
So that was the alap, that was the introductory stanza that Kumar sang, and it's so beautiful. For those who do not understand Hindi, it just says, Swami, you are my mother, you are my father, you are my friend, you are my guru, you are my everything, you are my wealth, you are my treasure, you are my everything, Swami. Other than you, there is nobody for me. And this is the introduction that the bhajan has. And he sang this with all the feeling in his heart. I mean, even as we heard it, Prem, it melted our hearts. But what Kumar saw that day was something that made him even more downcast. Even as he completed this alap and he wanted to sing, he didn't have a tear in his eyes, because he said, Swami, in his heart he was feeling, Swami, I'm not going to cry, because Swami, you're there with me, you're my everything, why do I need to cry? Even as he said that, he opened his eyes to start the bhajan. Swami gets up from the chair. Swami has not looked at him even once, and Swami goes to grant a bonus darshan round. You know, sometimes it would happen, very rarely, where during the bhajan Swami gets up and just goes and walks amidst the devotees. So it is like God knows whose prayer it is in the audience which Swami is fulfilling. But it's a thrilling thing, and because of that one devotee's prayer, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits with that bonus darshan. Now Kumar felt that this was perfectly the wrong time for Swami to go for a bonus darshan. Here I am, Swami, I am crying out to you. And at this point in time, tears rolled down his cheek. Because till then he had not cried. You know, when he met his father at the house also, he saw that he is the only son, he is the only child, I mean, for his parents. And when his father was so crestfallen and dejected, he felt that this is not a time for me to also show my emotion. So I have to be strong. And that is why Kumar had been strong till now. And he had been strong basing all his strength on Swami. And that Swami now was not even lending him an ear. He has heard so many of his bhajans till date. why can't he hear him when he needs him the most? Very often we feel this, right, Prem, in our lives as to why does God desert us when we need him the most? That was what Kumar was feeling, that why is Swami leaving me when I'm needing him the most? He continued, he sang this bhajan, he completed the bhajan, and as if pouring salt on those injuries, Swami walks in exactly after he completes and the next bhajan begins. And not possibly next bhajan, after one more bhajan. Swami doesn't come back for his bhajan, okay, and comes back after a couple of bhajans.
Okay.
And Swami sits for about 6 bhajans that day. And Kumar is just trying to crane his neck, straighten up, so that Swami just gives him one look. He feels that Swami just has to look into my eyes and my eyes will convey everything to him. But Swami is not giving him even a chance for that. And at that time he is wondering, Swami, I know I am out of form, but can't you make an exception for this? Don't you see the situation that I am in? Doesn't this situation warrant an exception? But apparently Swami was seeming so heartless. He was just not even looking at him. The bhajan, after the 6th bhajan, Swami just pushed the footstool with his feet. That is an indication for the aarti. The aarti begins. Swami gets up, doesn't look at Kumar, just walks out. By this time, you know, it takes time for Swami to walk back till the residence and the aarti is going on and there is time. So, this time Kumar has completely overruled his heart. He has given up all hopes. He is now thinking, let me be practical. He starts making calculations of how much cost will be needed, from where to get the firewood for the funeral. He had made plans that he would hire a tractor so that it can go to Kotta Cheruvu, that is a village 9 kilometers away from Puttaparthi, where firewood is available. So to fetch the firewood, he would need a tractor and trailer, which will get the firewood. He also made plans for getting the other items. Then he was chalking up a list of all those whom he has to inform. Because, you know, from his family, they were the few who settled here. The rest of the family was scattered everywhere else. And he was thinking that many of them have not come to Parthi even once.
Mm-hmm.
And now they will have to come for what an occasion, you know. The first time they will be coming to Parthi would not be for actually Swami's darshan, but for the funeral of his mother, all his relatives. So he made a list of all the relatives whom he has to call. All this he did, and just as the aarti concluded, he got up and he wanted to rush to find out, yes, what has happened, when it happened. Even as he started going towards his house, he could hear some people, you know. First he said the warden came up to him and patted him on his shoulder and said, blessed boy. So he felt that was a very, very strange way to give condolence or whatever. But his mind was not on that. 2-3 others also came and said something to him. He could not understand what they were saying. And in his heart suddenly he thought, why are they telling me? Did something nice happen, by the way? Again a spark of hope was, you know, coming, was being born in him. That hope, even before taking birth, got cruelly crushed, because as he exited the gate, he saw 4 sevadals carrying his mother on a stretcher. And she was as motionless, lifeless and dead as he had seen her before. And her hands were folded onto her chest, and she was being carried by the sevadals, sevadal volunteers on a stretcher. And then he saw right behind them his father coming out. His father's face was dripping with tears. Father was seeming inconsolable, and he was trying to, you know, lock the house. You know, so Kumar made out that obviously they are headed to the mortuary. That is where you can keep the body till everyone arrives, so that the body doesn't decay in the meanwhile, and then the final rites can be done. So his father was finding hard to lock the house.
Mm-hmm.
So Kumar goes to him and he says, Appa, Appa, and he holds him. The father turns and says, Kumar, and he starts breaking down again. So Kumar then tells father, you calm down, you just go to the hospital, I'll be there. You go there, you go, I'll come. So his father leaves. As his father leaves, Kumar is about to lock the house. He has not yet, you know, allowed the tears to come, because he has to appear strong in front of his father. He has lost his mother. Then he thinks that, you know, it's quite late in the evening, it'll get night. Parthi in December can get quite chill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he remembers... He remembers this and decides that, let me take a sweater for my father, it'll get very cold at night. So he goes into the house, and as he goes into the house, it hits him. It hits him so strongly, and this is the place, you know, this is the space that had been pervaded by his mother, and now she's gone, right? He is just so overcome with emotion, but again he controls himself, just picks up the sweater, comes out, locks the house, and heads towards the general hospital. He reaches the general hospital and moves towards the mortuary. At the mortuary, he sees there's always one guard or one volunteer who is there at the mortuary. Mostly it's a guard, a permanent employee. He sees the guard and a watchman, and he asks him, why is the mortuary not open? He says, why should it be open? He says, then Kumar says, just some time back, maybe 10 minutes ago, a woman was brought into the hospital, you know, a body did not come here. The watchman just, you know, pointed towards the sky. He said, up, up. Kumar said, I know she has gone up, but I want to, you know, see the body. Then the watchman said, no, not up. I mean, they have taken her to the first floor. So Kumar wondered, why did they take her to the first floor? He said, because there's nothing on the first floor. What is there on the first floor? There are some general wards over there. So he rushed up. He rushed up and he saw that there was a makeshift ICU on the first floor. And his mother was there and she had been hooked up to some machine. There were some drips going on. Now he was flabbergasted. He didn't know what was happening. And his father comes, he's still crying. It is now that Kumar notices that these are not tears of sorrow but tears of joy. He embraces Kumar and he says, Kumar, what Swami has done? What Swami did, right? So Kumar asks, what Swami did? What did he do? He has no idea. And that is when, you know, even as I'm narrating, I'm getting goosebumps, Prem. That is when Kumar's father tells him that, you know, Swami came, as you were singing the bhajan, Swami came walking straight to our house. You know, his father was narrating this. In fact, the thrill that Kumar got when he heard his father's narrative, mm-hmm. could only possibly be beaten by the thrill that Kumar got when Swami narrated this whole story in his own words in an informal discourse that he gave 3 days later in the bhajan hall. And you know, Ravi Kumar sir, the Vrindavan warden, mm-hmm. hostel warden, and I think Sai Surendranath sir, who is there in the high school, he plays tabla, they were also present in the bhajan hall, and they also, you know, vouched for this, saying how thrilling it was to hear Swami narrate this. So what has happened is Swami has walked to his house and Swami has told the doctor there that boy is calling out to me as his mother and father. How can I sit there? You know, that is what has prodded me to get up and walk straight here to this house. Swami has walked and knocked on the door of EA1. East Prashanti A1, that room is still there. Next time we pass by, we can see that door. We can prostrate over there because that is the doorway through which Swami has walked. And then Kumar's father is in for a shock seeing Swami there. Swami walks in and he goes to the doctor and asks, what happened? So they tell Swami that she has had this hypertensive cardiac arrest because of her high blood pressure, the cardiac arrest. And they tell Swami that, Swami, we tried our best. We tried our best to do everything possible, but she's gone, Swami. She's gone now. And then the father breaks down. You know, once the doctor says that she's gone, the father breaks down. And then Swami tells, hey, mad fellow, I have come here. Pichivada, that is the Telugu word Swami used. Swami said, mad fellow, why are you crying? I have come here. And then Swami had materialized a lingam for the parents, which they used to worship daily with water. And take those washings as teertham and consume daily. Mm-hmm. So that was there on the ledge. Swami went and picked up. The water was still there because that day they had not consumed because the mother had been so ill. Swami picked it up. And you know, it is a tradition, the Hindu tradition, where you take 3 spoonsful of water, spoonfuls of water, and offer it to the person who has left the body. And every time you pour it in, it will come out. Once it comes out of the mouth 3 times, that is confirmation that the person has finally left. So you offer your last respects and that's it, the body is cremated. So Swami picked up a spoon of water and poured it in Kumar's mother's mouth. And it came out. He took a second spoon and he put it. It came out again. he picked up the third spoon. And this was when Kumar's father rushed to Swami, held his hand and said, "Swami, no. Swami, no. Swami, no." Because he did not want to see the sight of water being poured into her mouth and it coming out for the third time. Swami again said, "Hey, pichiwada. Hey, mad fellow. You leave my hand, you know." Later in the discourse, Swami said, he thought that water, giving water meant death. Water is life. I was giving life. And the third spoon when Swami poured, they could hear a glug sound, you know, like that swallowing kind of sound, and the water had gone in. And then Swami said, "Sitamma, see who has come." Sitamma is the name of Kumar's mother. Swami beckoned to her by name, called out to her by name and said, "Sitamma, see who has come." And in an instant, the monitor kicked to life. And there it registered the heartbeat again. And the doctors were simply, awestruck. What do you say when you see resurrection happening right before your eyes? They immediately went and checked her pulse. And in fact, they told Swami, "You have resurrected her." Swami said, "Yes, I have brought her back. Now take her to the hospital and do all that is medically necessary for her. Right away, do it." And then Swami had walked out and gone into the bhajan hall. In the meantime, they had arranged for people to come from the hospital to pick up Sitamma Garu. And all this while, Kumar was totally oblivious of what was happening. In fact, he was thinking how God can be so cruel, not coming to his aid when he needs him the most. And so, as he heard this narrative from his father in the hospital, Kumar just broke down. For the first time, he cried like a child. He just could not, you know, he was so, can imagine, Prem, you can imagine how overwhelming it will be. And they sat there the whole evening, the whole night. Somewhere in the middle of the night, you know, both Kumar and his father had dozed off sitting in their chairs. They got a strong scent of vibhuti. Both woke up, both looked at each other and said, "Swami has come." But how can Swami come? It's the middle of the night. Something like 1:30 a.m. or 2 a.m. They walk in and they see that the mother is awake. She's opened her eyes. Mm-hmm. Kumar runs to her, you know, hugs her, holds her hand and, "Amma, Amma, Amma." He's shedding so, and the mother is totally confused. She's asking, "What happened?" As far as she's concerned, she has had a peaceful sleep. She has just woken up in the middle of the night. And Kumar doesn't know where to begin. You know, that famous song is there. "Where do I begin to tell the story of how great a love can be? A sweet love story that's older than the seas." That is our love story with God, right? It's older than the seas and it's sweeter than the sweetest things. Where do you begin to tell that story? Kumar had no idea where to begin to tell that story. It was a nurse who came and said that, you know, "Your mother needs rest. Don't bombard her with too much of talking now." So Kumar, with great difficulty, restrained himself. He was so thrilled. And again, tears and tears, and his mother, totally oblivious of what had happened, went back to sleep again. They stayed there throughout the whole night. The next day morning, Kumar told his father that, "You know, father, I'll just go quickly home, freshen up, have bath and come. After that, you can go and I'll be here with mother." As he's going down the steps, can you believe it, who is coming up the steps? Swami. Swami is walking up the steps and looks at Kumar and asks him, "Kumar, where are you going?" And now Kumar says, "Oh God, the ice is broken now. I'm no longer out of form. Swami is speaking to me." Just imagine, even in that situation, this is what is on his mind. He said, "Swami is speaking to me." He says, "Swami, I thought I'll go home, freshen up and come." Then Swami holds his hand and says, "Come, let's go up together now." He goes and Swami sits on a metal chair right beside Kumar's mother. Again calls out, "Sitamma." And she opens her eyes now. And Swami tells, I don't know Tamil, but Swami in Tamil tells her, "They told me that you have gone." And she said, "Swami, you only brought me." Then Swami says, "Get the ECG machine now. Take her ECG right now. Perfectly normal." Swami said, "But let her be here, let her rest here for one more month." And then the Swami's love did not stop at that. He told Kumar, "You know why she became sick like this?" So Kumar did not know. "Because she was making puris for you." Then Swami said, "No, I am just joking. Now I am worried, who will feed you now that she is here? You don't worry. You can come every day and have your food with me." this was the blessing that he gave Kumar. I mean, Kumar was wondering, he's out of form, and this was Swami conferring, and Swami told his father, you should not move around much, you be at your home, I will ensure that food from the canteen comes to you daily at your room itself. And 1 month later, Swami himself came and told Kumar that it is now time you can get your mother back home. He assured the father, telling, till I give green signal, Sitamma is not going anywhere. And then Swami sent his own car to pick up Kumar's mother from the hospital. And she lived for nearly 2 decades after this. Nearly 2 decades, or more than a decade.
I think more than that, because I remember him telling that I'm going to meet my mother even when he used to come a few years back.
Exactly. And dear listeners, this is the story behind this magical bhajan, which we shall listen to once again with the complete alap and the bhajan. Let us sing and follow this bhajan, and let us realize what a great, good, compassionate, loving, merciful and grace-providing Lord that we have. How fortunate we are. We indeed, if we are able to realize this, every moment of our lives will be filled with tears. Tears of bliss, that is.
Tvameva matascha pita tvameva. Tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva. Tvameva vidya dravidam tvameva. Tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. Sai Pita aur Mata Sai, Sai Pita aur Mata Sai,
Sai Pita aur Mata Sai,
Din Dayala Data Sai. Sai Guru Sai Sakha Sahodara.
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 Sai Satya Shiva Sai.
Sai Pita Hare Mata Sai,
Sai Pita Hare
Mata Sai,
That was that song, Arvind. And it's not just this time when we listen to that song we should think of this, but every time we sing this bhajan, I think we should remember
yes,
this whole episode.
Swami is the master of life. In fact, you know, there's one more beautiful message which I forgot to mention.
Mm-hmm.
When two things that happened, beautiful, just to give completion to that incident. When Swami had gone to visit the next day in the hospital, Swami himself prescribed the medicines that must be given to her. And then, you know, I said that Swami told his mother that they told me you are gone. That is when the doctor stepped in and said, Swami, medically she was really gone. Swami, there's nothing we could have done. At that point, Kumar says that Swami said, that is why I say, where science ends, spirituality begins. So that was the statement that Swami had made. You know, spirituality just begins once science has reached its zenith. Which I personally take this as where the head ends, the heart begins. Because miracles happen at the level of the heart. And that is why, you know, you need a lot of heart when we approach Swami. And bhajans and music is a very, very beautiful way to approach Swami via the heart.
You know, this was a story of how a son's prayer was answered and the mother was revived. I think the story which I'm going to narrate now is the person himself singing for himself. You know, this is a story of a very, very famous musician. I don't think anybody in South, especially in Andhra Pradesh, would not have heard of his name.
Okay.
His name is Ghantasala.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And his has almost become a style now. You know, if anybody sings in that particular style would say that this is Ghantasala's style. That's how famous he is.
Hmm.
And I don't know how many people know that he actually was a very ardent devotee of Swami. And and it happens many times in life, you know. Sometimes it is the hardships which actually draw you to God. In fact, I think there was an interview we did some time back where the child had leprosy. And they came to Swami and Swami said, I put that leprosy in her because she is an old devotee of mine. She's devoted to me from the Shirdi times. And I just gave this as a reason for you to come to me. And, you know, it's like that. This Ghantasala was a person who was becoming very famous. At that time he was very famous, but only in Andhra Pradesh. You know, that was the time when he suddenly had, I think, developed some kind of cancer. And as a last resort, he comes to Swami. But sometimes with God it is like that. You know, we often think that experiences come and then the faith comes. But sometimes the moment you see Swami, sometimes the moment you know, the first time you come and meet him, you know that this was the person whom I always belonged to and he's the only person who belongs to me. So this person immediately knew that, you know, Swami is the only one who could do anything if at all anything needs to be done. And he knew that this was where the road ends, you know, to put it in the words of Howard Muffett. But he came, he sat for darshan and Swami completely ignored him. You know, one thing is you're having an ailment and you come as a last resort. The other thing is you come with a burden of fame. You know, everybody knew that, oh, Ghantasala has come. You know, here is this internationally renowned musician. He's such a great singer. And I'm sure in front of Swami, they might have been singing songs which he has rendered in movies. And
exactly.
That Ghantasala himself has come. And Swami absolutely neglects him. And he's distraught. He goes back. And I think there's something special about that East Prashanti building. Maybe that time that was the only building which was there.
Most that is the first residential building ever built.
Most of the devotees used to be accommodated there. I think he also was given a room there. And he goes back to his room and he is really heartbroken. And being a musician and lyricist himself, he actually expresses this pain in the form of a song. And it's very beautiful, you know, the song which he has written. He writes saying that, you know, I came, Swami, you did not come to me. And he says, Na Sai Nanu Chera Radaye. I mean, the beauty of the thing is, here is the person coming for the first time with Swami, and he's already saying that my Swami did not come to me.
Wow.
You know, that is why I said that the first sight itself is enough to bridge that bond. He said, Swami, my Swami did not come. I came, Swami, with all hopes and you did not come to me. And he composes this song, and we will play that song. It's a very beautiful song.
So it was a spontaneous composition.
Right, he just composed it and he just sang and maybe cried in his room. And almost every emotion which he might have had is expressed in this.
Wow.
Maybe we'll just listen to that song and then probably, or we'll just see, you know, what are the lyrics of that song. Very beautiful. And then we can, of course, the response is there. This is just the prayer. The response is what completes and makes this whole incident so beautiful.
ನನ್ನು ಚೇರರಾಡಾಯೆ ನಾ ಸಾಯಿ ನನ್ನು ಚೇರರಾಡಾಯೆ ನನ್ನಲರಿಂಚೆ ವೇಳಾಯೆ ನಾ ಸಾಯಿ ನನ್ನು ಚೇರರಾಡಾಯೆ ನನ್ನದಿಲ್ಕೆ ವೇಳಾಯೇ ನಾ ತಾಯಿ ನನ್ನ ತೇರಾಡಾಯೇ ಅಂದರಿಲೋನ ನಗುಬಾಟು ಸೇಯಕ ಸುಂದರ ಗಾನನ್ನು ಚೇರಡಾಯೆ ಅಂದರಿಲೋನ ನಗುಬಾಟು ಸೇಯಕ ಸುಂದರ ಗಾನನ್ನು ಚೇರಡಾಯೆ ಸುಂದರ ರೂಪಾನ ಸುಧಲು ತಿಂದಿ ಸುಂದರ ರೂಪಾನ ಸುಧಲು ತಿಂದಿ ಅಂಗಮುಗ ಬಿಂದು ಸೇಡಾಯಿ ನಾ ಚಾಯಿ ನನು ಕನ್ನುಲು ಕಾ
whatever that song, and you know, it's in the voice of Ghantasala himself. Very beautiful words. When I said that he literally put all his prayer in that form of that song.
Mm.
Because, you know, here are the first words. He says, "My Swami has not come to me. It is time to fondle me, Swami. You still have not come to me."
Mm.
And you know, that desperation of a devotee. And then he says, you know, "Don't humiliate me in front of all these people." Because that is also part of the emotion, you know. He's feeling that, you know, I've come here as somebody who's with all this reputation, and here Swami is, you know, belittling me. And then, you know, he's saying that, "Swami, my eyes are sore crying for you. My throat is tired calling out to you. Will you not come and fill my being with beauty, with your beautiful form?" Those are wonderful words which he writes, but it remains a prayer and Swami doesn't come. And then one day, he tries doing darshan, but Swami is continuing to neglect him. One day the story goes that he's in his prashanti, absolutely in a casual state. He's just wearing his dhoti and not even a shirt. He's just wearing a towel over his body because he's quite, he had already started becoming very sick. So I think that must be one of the days he did not go out. So he was lying on his couch and suddenly he found that somebody was knocking the door.
Mm.
And imagine, he goes and opens the door and Swami is standing there.
Oh my God.
And Swami comes in with no paraphernalia, nobody around Swami. Swami has just walked into his room. Swami sits with him. Swami materializes vibhuti, applies it all over his body. And Swami tells him, "I have come." And the beauty is, Swami, you know, the very emotion where he says, "My Swami has not come, my Swami has not come." Swami tells him that, "You are not new to me. I know you for the past 10 births. You have been coming to me for the past 10 births."
Oh my God.
That's what Swami tells him. And then Swami tells him that, "You have no idea how much more famous you're going to be."
Hmm.
And Swami promises him, "Till the seas are there, till the mountains are there, the name of Ghantasala will be remembered."
Oh, wow. Hmm.
And literally, that is why, I mean, he's such a legend. I don't know if other people are aware of it. Ghantasala is a legend, you know, in South India.
Exactly.
And this was the song which he composed in happiness after this incident.
Oh, there's one more song.
There is one more song. And you know, it's so beautiful that a musician, the gift a musician has, just like a gift a writer has or a speaker has, to the ability to document that entire episode in the form of an article or in the form of a book. The blessing that a musician has is to able to capture it in the form of music and song.
Hmm.
So then he writes another song where he says, "What joy, I'm not having words to express how joyful I am because my Swami came all the way for me."
Wow.
He says he came walking for me. Can you imagine, he came walking all the way for me?
Directly opposite of the emotion portrayed
right.
in the first song.
Absolutely. And the words are so beautiful. He says that, "Swami, I had so many worries in my mind, but now I'm thoughtless. You've just come and given me your smile. You've just spoken to me a few words. I'm thoughtless. There's nothing in my mind. Where are all those worries?"
Hmm.
With just one moment, you have removed all worries. You know, we think that, "Swami, there are so many problems. How are all these problems going to be solved? You know, maybe Swami will start here and maybe it will take a few years." But we realize that when Swami steps in, that it is that, you know, the sky getting cleared in one instance. That's what he says, "Swami, I had so many worries in my mind, but now when I look at my mind, it's absolutely thoughtless. He's saying that my eyes are not stopping. They're crying and crying, and you're filled with me joy. So we listen to that song which he composed after Swami came and blessed him with this special darshan.
మందహాసవదనముతో పలకరించినాడు కోసము శ్రమల కోర్చి నడచి వచ్చినాడు నన్ను ఒడిని చేసి చాలలా నిలిచినాడు మధురమైన భావనలో ముల్చి చేసినాడు మరువలేని అనుభూతిని నాలో నరేపి విడువలేని తన రూపము నా ఎడలో నిలిపి ఇంత వింత లీలలెల్లు నా కనులకు చూపి పంటలోని తరలినాడు నా చింతలు వాడి
Welcome back, dear listeners. Hope you enjoyed that beautiful Telugu song. Prem so nicely explained the entire meaning in case to help those of us who do not understand Telugu. Well, we understand that there are many members in the listening audience who do not understand Telugu, but Swami took avatarhood in Puttaparthi, which is the heart of the Telugu land, and many of the compositions, beautiful compositions with lovely stories, have been in Telugu. Next, we move on to a bhajan, which I'm sure Prem, almost everybody who had visited Parthi would have heard it one time or the other, because especially during the later years, that is after 2005 or 2006, Swami would ask for this bhajan quite often with the alap, and Swami had a beautiful word with which he would indicate this bhajan. He would say shlokam. So he will look at the singer and say shlokam. In fact, if we see the videos, we can make out these words being mentioned. And anybody in the student circle would know that shlokam means this bhajan. In fact, depending on which era it was, whether it was the 80s, whether it was the 90s, or whether it was 2000 to 2010, depending on that, when Swami would ask for this bhajan, it was also known as to who should sing this bhajan. So because the bhajan and the singer were fixed, they used to go together like a word and its meaning go together. So that was how this bhajan has been popularized, has become famous, and Swami has got great love for this bhajan. Should we play the bhajan first or should we listen to the history of the bhajan first? I think we'll listen to the history first, Prem.
Yeah, even before we listen to the history of the bhajan, maybe we should say why we are talking about this bhajan today.
Yes, okay.
It's because somebody gave us the idea to talk about this bhajan. This was not in our initial list. One of our listeners wrote to us saying that they would love to know if there is any story related to this particular bhajan.
That is with the alap, Shri Raghavam Dasharathatmajam Aprameyam. That is the bhajan with this shloka, and the bhajan that follows is Shri Raghunandana Dasharathanandana.
Right. And interestingly, this bhajan does have a beautiful story to it. It's not about the composition, because from our little bit of knowledge
and research,
we could not find out who actually composed this bhajan or the alap. But we always knew that this bhajan was popularized by one singer, you know, and it goes back to the same singer we spoke about in the beginning of this program, and that is Brother V. Kumar. So we knew that it was popularized with a very special extended experience, because you know he was telling us that he had learned this bhajan from one of his seniors, who also did not know who composed this bhajan, and this bhajan used to be sung by one other student of Swami by the name Giridhar. He used to sing that bhajan, but for a long time it was not sung. And this again happened in the year 1986. I think it's the same year of that incident, when Swami had taken a batch of students to Kodaikanal. And when in Kodaikanal, I think invariably Swami visits a few devotees' houses. He would visit, Nara Srinivasan's house and a few other devotees' houses. He would always take the students. That year, Swami had gone to one of the devotees' house, was, I think, the Transport Corporation, one of the elders who were there in that. This person happened to be a very staunch devotee of Lord Rama.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
And with a little bit of experience, you know that when Swami takes you to somebody's house and when Swami says sing, you need to sing something which that person is fond of. No, this would happen many times, right?
When priests from Tirupati had come, right. Suddenly that day we would have all Venkatesha bhajans, Srinivasa Venkatesha, in its two variants and all, and we would be wondering, and then we would realize, oh, okay, Swami is trying to please these devotees of his.
And sometimes it can go to a really difficult extent. I remember when one of the convocation Ramas, there was that scene of Tyagaraja singing that very famous kriti, Nidhi Chala Sukama. Alright? So that was the scene which was enacted, and they sang the song and they enacted it in front of Swami. Swami said, why is he singing in Telugu? He said, Swami, Tyagaraja has composed this in Telugu. Swami said, no, I want that song in Hindi. Swami said, I want it translated and rendered in Hindi. And you know why? Because the chief guest of this of the convocation that year was Mr. Byron Singh Shekhawat, who was the vice president of India then, who was a North Indian.
Swami who doesn't said, understand Telugu.
Yes. Now he can follow the rest of the drama which is in English, but he cannot follow Telugu. So Swami said, make that song into Hindi and let it be rendered in Hindi.
I remember, Nidhi mein aisa kya sukh hai.
Right.
That was the translation.
You can imagine, you know, Tyagaraja is... you know, singing that whole kriti in Hindi. But you know, that was also a beautiful message Swami was giving, that when you call a guest, you need to give him what he understands and he enjoys. Don't give him what you enjoy alone. Give him something which is acceptable for him. At the same time, when you give something, it should always be something which the other person can appreciate as well.
Exactly.
So this was something which most of the students in the bhajan group know, that when Swami takes you to somebody's house, you need to be able to gauge what Swami wants you to sing there.
For instance, I remember when Swami was distributing keys for the people of Orissa who had been affected by floods. And Swami, you know, just went ahead and built 700 homes. And just like we distribute laddus during Narayan Seva, Swami distributed the keys to the house to everybody.
Right.
And as this distribution was going on, Swami asked for bhajans. The first bhajan that was sung was, Dina Dukhiyon Se Prem Karo Mera Sai Prasanna Hoga. And at that moment, you could see that really Sai Prasanna Hua. Swami became so happy because it was so apt, the situation, the location, the way it was sung in a high pitch, and the bhajan, the meaning of the bhajan. So definitely, Desha Kala Paristhiti, that is the situation, the place, the timing, and the situation, place and timing are very important. And blessed are those bhajan singers who are able to keep this in mind when they sing the bhajan.
So here was the situation. Swami has taken these students to this person's house. I think it was a snack session or something like that in the devotee's house. And Swami looked at Brother Kumar and said, sing something. So immediately he sang this bhajan with the alap, Sri Raghavam. And Swami was immensely pleased. You know, whether that, I'm sure the devotee would have been happy being a devotee of Swami, being a devotee of Rama, to hear a bhajan on Rama. But Swami was so happy, maybe because, you know, the boys had understood what Swami would have wanted them to sing, and they sang. And of course, it is a very, very beautiful bhajan. There's no doubt about that. But it was almost like a resurrection of this bhajan. It had not been sung for a long time. And Swami was extremely pleased. So pleased that Swami came back to Saraswati in the evening that day. Swami said, sing that bhajan again. So he sang. The next morning, again Swami said, sing that bhajan. So then started a series of rendition of this bhajan. And I think Brother Kumar was telling us, it was not for anything less than 50 days, right?
30 days, I think, is it? 30 right. to 50 days.
30 to 50 so days. Imagine every day he had to sing this bhajan with the alap.
Same bhajan with the alap.
And this was not just in Kodaikanal. Swami came back to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan too, this continued. So every day in the evening, I think those days Swami was giving the thrice sessions. So he had to come and sing this bhajan. And then Vikumar sir was telling that it was during the summertime when the MBA boys go out for their industrial tour and their internship and all that. So they used to stay in the Vrindavan hostel but go to the city to one of the companies to do this project. So he was saying that he was given a project in Mysore Soaps or something. So he had to travel to the city every day and come back. And that was when, you know, some days, you know, those days in Vrindavan, there used to be almost just one or two bus services which would connect Kadugodi to the city. Especially in the evenings, you miss a bus, you're going to come back very, very late. So it so happened that one particular day he missed the bus which he usually takes, and he came back around 8 or 8.15 in the evening. Right? So at 8.15, he was thinking that, okay, today I'm really late, so maybe today Swami will not ask me to sing this bhajan. And he was sure that Swami would have taken aarti and retired, because Swami would generally conclude thrice session by 6.30 or maximum 7 o'clock. Even as he was, you know, in his casuals walking into the ashram, he found one Sevadal waiting right outside, desperately looking for somebody. And, you know, he goes up and he says, "Sir, Swami is waiting for you, please come." And he was shocked and he starts running. And there when he goes near the gate of Swami's mandir, there he finds the warden Narasimhamurthy sir standing there. He says, "Kumar, finally you have come, come, Swami is waiting for you," he said. And he was shocked and I think he just threw all the bag which he was carrying, ran. He found
he's that, in his colors, right?
Right, I think he just went
color
in
dress.
His casual clothes. He found that the trai was packed with students and Swami was sitting. And he was so surprised, 8 o'clock in the night and Swami is still giving trai sessions there. Mm-hmm. And he went in and just showed himself to Swami, you know. The moment Swami saw him, he was saying that there was a guest who was actually speaking when he came in. The moment Swami said, "Ah, Kumar has come, 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 Kumar, chalo, chalo, sit down."
You can stop speaking.
He said, "Enough, you spoke, you sit down." And he came and Swami said, "Ah, sing that bhajan now." And he just came, sat, sang the alap, sang the bhajan. Swami got up, took aarti and went. And you know, this went on for, as I said, more than 30 days.
And you know, just like Kumar had his...
And to complete the thing, of course, he later came to know that till the time he came, Swami was asking somebody or the other to speak or sing so that he could wait till Kumar landed up and he could listen to that bhajan.
Wow. No, as you were saying this, I just burst because I remember that this was a bhajan that many, many of the top singers of their era sang in Swami's presence. It is said that in Bharatanatyam or I don't know which dance form, I think so Bharatanatyam, when you have achieved the pinnacle, you sign off with a Shiva Tandavam. You do a, if you're a male dancer, you do a dance of the Shiva Tandavam.
Right.
And that shows that you have reached a level. This bhajan was almost like that. If Swami asks you to sing this bhajan, then definitely you have reached a certain level as a singer. In whatever way Swami judges, that is in terms of your, whatever it might be, we don't know, but he would ask only a chosen few, and those chosen few will know that they are a chosen few because they are getting a chance to sing this beautiful bhajan. And we have seen it. This bhajan, after V. Kumar, I think even S. Kumar sir sang this for a while, possibly. But definitely I know that Ravi Bhaiya, whom we call, who currently is still working as a manager in the radiology department in the Super Speciality Hospital, Parthi, who sings, and he also sang it for a while. After that, there was Ashwath Narayan. Different singers, the top-notch singers of their era have sung this bhajan. And I was speaking to Ravi Bhaiya, and Ravi Bhaiya was saying that on one occasion when he was singing this bhajan, there is a line that comes, Vaidehi Priya Vaikuntha Rama. That was the original lyrics like that. So when he was singing Vaidehi Priya Vaikuntha Rama, today we don't sing it that way, but when he was singing that day, he said in the bhajanal, Swami made a face as if to say that he did not like it. So he immediately made corrections and he made it as Vaidehi Priya, it Vaikuntha Dhama. Dhama means the place of residence.
Right.
So he changed Rama to Dhama because he meant to say that Rama is the resident of Vaikuntha. Then again Swami made a even more distorted face. You know, the Swami did not like it. He said, "No, not that." And that moment, all the instruments that were playing silenced themselves. The tabla stopped, the harmonium stopped. Only the follow was going on gently. And he said, Swami almost shouted out the word. He said, "Vasa, Vasa."
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the third line was changed to Vaidehi Priya Vaikuntha Vasa, which means the same thing, the resident of Vaikuntha, but that was the word that Swami wanted there. And ever since then, I think this bhajan has been sung with the word Vasa, so it's Vaidehi Priya Vaikuntha Vasa. So that is the history of, that is a brief history that we have captured of this bhajan. I am sure that if we ask the other singers who have sung this, they will have beautiful stories of their own related to this bhajan. But as of now, these are two stories that we have got with this bhajan, Sri Raghavam. And we would like to thank the listener who sent in this request because it helped us to do our research and get to know these two beautiful stories. So here is that bhajan for all of you to hear.
Right. Listen to that bhajan and in the resounding voice of Brother V. Kumar.
Shri Raghavam Dasharatatmajamaprameyam సీతాపతిం రఘుకులాన్మయరత్నదీపం ఆజానుబాహు అరవిందదళాయతాక్షం రామం నిశాచర వినాశకరం నమామి 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 శ్రీరఘునందన దశరథ నందన శ్రీరఘునందన దశరథ నందన భద్రాదీశ్వర రామ భద్రాదీశ్వర రామ వైదేహీ ప్రియ వైకుంఠ రామ వైదేహీ ప్రియ వైకుంఠ భద్రాదీశ్వర రామ రఘునందన దశరథ నందన భద్రాదీశ్వర రామ
దట్ వాజ్ దట్ భజన్ విచ్ స్వామి వుడ్ ఆఫెన్ సే శ్లోకం వెన్ ఎవర్ హీ వుడ్ you know, mime those words, shlokam, it meant that he wanted this bhajan.
And usually, you know, this bhajan that Swami referred to would be sung. I remember during my student days, another bhajan would always closely follow this bhajan. And that would begin with the alap, Allahu Akbar. because of that I got triggered into this another beautiful story of another Allahu Akbar bhajan. This is not the Alap bhajan Allahu Akbar, which is Rama Hare Hare Ram Bolo.
Right.
But this is the Sarva Dharma bhajan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that fast bhajan. It has got a nice story. Quickly, possibly I'll just narrate it, because this happened to, this is not the bhajan, this is not the story of this bhajan's composition and all that, but this is just a nice, interesting story related to this bhajan, and it is close to my heart because this experience is the experience of a dear Sai brother of mine. He has been a guest at the studio quite a number of times, Brother Amay.
Mm-hmm.
He was narrating to me this story of the bhajan Allahu Akbar. Now, you know, as I said during the narrative of V. Kumar sir's experience, there's this concept of out of form. So this was, I think, in the year 2006 possibly, when, or 2004 this happened, when suddenly once in the middle of Amay's bhajan, Amay is also a bhajan singer and he was singing, and when he was singing this bhajan, you know, Swami abruptly stopped the bhajan and received aarti and he left. So when this happened, no, it was not that Swami stopped the bhajan, just before Amay could sing his bhajan, Swami received aarti and he left. Amay, let us say he was supposed to sing the seventh bhajan. After the sixth bhajan, Swami received aarti and he left. This is what happened. So Amay felt that, today I lost the chance. I could not sing in front of Swami. Maybe next time I will get a chance. And it's a chance that comes in a cycle, you know, because there are so many singers waiting to sing in Swami's presence. The next time when he got his chance, he says that his was the sixth bhajan that he had to sing. And on that day, after five bhajans, Swami got up and he left. So now this was like very disappointing for Amay. And he says it went on like that. The day he got fifth bhajan, Swami got up after the fourth bhajan. And at this time, the bhajan group coordinator came and told him that, you know, Amay, for the sake of devotees, it's time that you start doing some introspection. It's very evident that Swami is exactly cutting the bhajan session when your bhajan is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the devotees are losing out on darshan. Because, you know, Swami used to sit for bhajans outside. And sometimes in the bhajan also. But either place, the devotees are losing out. Because Swami is getting up. If tomorrow we give you the third bhajan, we don't want Swami to get up and leave after the second bhajan. So, he was not told as elaborately as this. Basically, he was told to do introspection and practice more. And that's it. That ended temporarily Amay's bhajan singing in the mandir. And this went on for, he says, so many weeks, almost 2 months passed without him singing bhajans. And then came this day, you know, all this while, you can understand how it must be for a bhajan singer who is deprived of singing his bhajan. And he was not, he was wanting to sing a bhajan, but how do you know? Means he is not yet confident of taking a risk. After some time, it so happened that the coordinator then said, okay, you can sing a bhajan. And on that day, he got bhajan 1. Now, Amay was very happy. You know why? Because see, Swami can't get up before first bhajan. Because if he gets up before first bhajan, it just means that there is no bhajans that day. So he cannot be made guilty of the fact that Swami got up before your bhajan. And if there are bhajans, at least one bhajan will be sung, he will sing it. What is the problem that day? But that session turned out to be interesting because Swami came and sat outside.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to pull out people from the audience to give talks. These were apparently random people, but nothing is random in the divine presence. It is destiny and God's grace on these students. They were picked. Almost 4 or 5 of them got a chance to give talks. They gave their speeches. After which, you know, Amay was looking at the clock. He was wondering that it's quite late now. Most probably there will only be aarti. Therefore, there will be no bhajans. Which also means that I am not criticized. Because it's not as if... But he still had that fear, you know. Imagine on this day only when he has to sing the first bhajan after such a long gap. Swami is keeping speakers. He is choosing to listen to people speak rather than have bhajans. You know how close to Swami's heart bhajans were. that in itself he felt like this will be a blow. If bhajans are not there, though I can technically say that it is not that Swami got up before my bhajan, that is what anybody will infer, that you know, Amay's bhajan was supposed to be first today and Swami did not have bhajans at all. So he was just hoping what would happen, but Swami went one step further. He called out, I don't know if you remember, Prem, I remember very clearly, he called out the children from the primary school and told them to lead bhajans. They sang six bhajans.
Okay.
Six bhajans as a group without mic. And the whole Kulanth hall followed the bhajans of the primary school children. Amay knew he was finished and that's what happened. The bhajan in charge came and told him that, you know, Amay, you better do some deep introspection. So this put him into even greater, he just thought there's no way now I can come out of this morass. There's no way I can come out of this pit that I've dug myself into. What is this happening, Swami? You don't want to hear me sing. And his heart was pining and pining and pining. Again, after a long period, finally, he was given a chance to sing a bhajan. He was asked whether he'll sing a bhajan. So he was hoping, you know, he was on tenterhooks. He was thinking whether he should accept this offer to sing a bhajan or just say no need and, you know, not undo the good that has happened in the whole last 2 months. Now at least they're asking him whether he's ready to sing a bhajan. If again he gets to sing and Swami says no, or Swami, you know, refuses to give him the chance to sing, then he's gone. And he thought third time he will be buried forever. You will have no chance of a resurrection. This is what he thought. Very nervously he agreed and he was given the third bhajan. And he felt that, okay, third bhajan is quite early. There is a less chance that Swami will get up before third bhajan. Can you believe it, Prem? On that day again, Swami started picking speakers from the audience. And he said, oh my God, Swami, this feels like deja vu. This feels like deja vu, Swami, let it not. Now he, and then he saw on that day, the children from the primary school also arrived because they used to not come every day for evening darshan, if you remember. So the children from primary school also arrived and he felt, oh my God, this is it. This is going by the same pattern now. Now, but again, Swami did something different. Swami turned after the speeches got over, Swami said, let us have bhajans. And Amay's heart began to feel a little light. Only for a moment, because then Swami raised his hand and said, two bhajans. Amay was like, Swami, why? Why two, Swami? Couldn't you have just lifted one more finger and saved my entire life, my whole whatever, you know, my everything depends on this. And Swami, you said two bhajans and Swami, that's it. Immediately the bhajan coordinator exchanged a meaningful glance with Amay. I mean, you can't call this coincidence. Two bhajans. Just to be technically safe, they asked, okay, what are the third bhajan that you wanted to sing? And this is the bhajan Amay chose. Not to express any feeling or anything, but just out of the resignation, thinking that I may not be singing a bhajan at all. So it's fine. So any bhajan is fine. So he picked up Allahu Akbar. It is not as if that it was his favorite bhajan or anything like that. He just picked this bhajan. Actually, you'll see why this bhajan has now become his favorite bhajan. Because this is the bhajan he picked. And he said, yeah, Allahu Akbar, I will sing. And in his mind, he thought, if there exists a chance for a third bhajan. Swami was seated. And that day, Swami was seated outside itself in the veranda. Not in the veranda, I mean on the dais. He didn't go into the bhajan hall. The bhajans were held outside. The first bhajan got completed. The second bhajan got completed. And as Swami had said, even as the second bhajan was nearing completion, you know, in the bhajan hall when Swami would sit, before Swami had his fall, the way Swami would indicate for aarti was, he will push the footstool with his feet. So you understand the bhajans are ending. When Swami would sit outside, the indication would be given by Swami stretching to hold the railings so that he can get up.
Right.
So when Swami gets up with the support of the railings, you know that the bhajan session has come to a close. Swami then, as the second bhajan was ending, stretched out both his hands, held the golden railing in front and got up. The brass railing in front, I mean. He got up and everyone knew that this has to be aarti. The priest came rushing and he was about to light the aarti when Swami looked and said, stop. And Amay had already closed his eyes. A tear was about to form because he knew that his singing career was over. And Swami lifts up his index finger and says, one more bhajan. And then people are patting on Amay's lap. They're like, you sing, 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 sing. And then he realizes, And then with that great josh and joy, he starts, you know, Allahu Akbar begins in a very triumphant note. The triumph in his voice, the joy, the relief was all evident even as he burst out singing Allahu Akbar. And that day, Swami stood, though he had the, you know, hip fracture and this, Swami stood holding the railing with one hand and keeping beat for the bhajan with his other hand, heard the entire bhajan, smiled, raised his hand in Abhayasta and said, now do Aarti. In fact, Amay says, after that day, so many students and people came to him and said, wow, brother, what a song, what a bhajan, what nice. Swami stood for your bhajan only. He said, none of them had the idea of what I had gone through for the last 2 months, but it felt so redeeming, so wonderful. And it is since that day that this bhajan, Allahu Akbar, has become one of his favorite bhajans. So that was the brief story of Allahu Akbar. And since there were only 10 to 12 minutes remaining for this satsang, I thought I can quickly slip in the story. We can just listen to part of the bhajan before we conclude the satsang. So, dear listeners, the time in our studios is 1:59. Again, we have missed out 3-4 stories because it always looks as if we have got much more than what we have time to speak. 1.5 hours feels so grossly inadequate. But we really do hope that you have enjoyed these sessions, and we hope that this has inspired you to make your own research into finding out the story behind the bhajans, the meaning behind the bhajans, because these bhajans are so, so beautiful. We will conclude with this bhajan that we spoke about, that is Allahu Akbar, the other side of which you will be greeted by Brother Chandu with his segment Love to Love. Thank you. We offer this segment, as always, at the lotus feet of our dear Swami. Jai Sai Ram.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
We go.